Let's turn to Judges chapter 6, and we'll just read through a little passage here. Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 36. Okay. Judges chapter 6, 36 through to 40. Let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day, and thank you, Lord, that we can meet here tonight and open your word, Lord. Help me, Lord, to speak clearly, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that this time would be a blessing to all. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This passage is probably only going to apply to the first part of the message somewhat, but it'll work out in the end, don't worry. Okay, Judges 6:36. And Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Okay. A question. How many times do you need to be told? That's the question I asked myself yesterday as I was thinking over what Tia and I have been praying about in regards to deputation. And it'd be about 6 weeks ago, I was praying with Pastor in regards to deputation and was prompted to pray in regards to sending out letters to churches to see if there was any response or not, if they wanted us to come and present the ministry of East Timor or if we were to go to East Timor for another field trip. So in the last month or so, we've been working on those letters. They still haven't gone out. But in the meantime, we've been praying, Lord, if you want us to go on deputation, churches will start contacting us. And so beginning of December, the pastor from Grace Baptist Church in Townsville, Callie Gillam, contacted us and asked her if we could present the ministry and mission field of East Timor to them in early February. And so we said, okay, Lord, is this the start of deputation or is this one off? Like, Townsville's not very far, it's only 4 hours' drive, that's not far away. Lord, if another church wants us to come, we'll know that you want us to go on deputation. And I felt like Gideon putting the fleece out. If it's wet, Lord. Anyway, then Dave Onus rang us and asked if we'd come down and fill in for a week at Foundations at Mackay. And so at this stage, we're both thinking, all right, Lord wants us on deputation. But then I guess doubt, we'll call it doubt, came in to our minds and we started thinking, well, Dave wants us in January and he doesn't want us to present the ministry there. He just wants us to fill in because there's members away. He wants us to come back another time and present. And so we said, okay, Lord, is there, Lord, make it clear to us. Can I put that fleece out again? I want to chuck that fleece out one more time. And so last Wednesday night, Pastor Phil Hyland contacted Pastor to see if we'd be available for their missions conference in February. So, okay, yes, Lord, I get it now. We're going on deputation, all right? So you heard it. We're going on deputation we're going to start in January when we go to Mackay, and we'll work our way back up to Townsville, and then we'll go back down to Sunshine Coast and keep going, Lord willing. Okay, so, boy, I'm thick, hey? I just felt, when I look back over the last 6-8 weeks of praying and what the Lord's been doing, and I'm like, boy, I am thick. I am so slow. Does God ever tell you something and it take you a while to listen, to understand? And you look back and say, oh, okay, God, that's what you're doing. I see it now. Sorry, Lord. Okay, so are you listening to God? Are you paying attention? Hello, what's he telling you? He's telling me something. He's got to be telling you something. He's working in your life too. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Is God in control? Amen. He is in control. He's in control of our circumstances, and sometimes by our silly choices we can affect our circumstances, but God is in control. So are you listening to God? Have you been praying a certain direction about something maybe in particular that maybe God is answering you, you just don't realize? There are times when, like Gideon, we just want to make sure, Lord, is this really for me? But where does that fine line of desiring to be in the will of God and making sure of it, when does that turn into a lack of faith? When does it turn into doubting? When does it turn into quenching the spirit? Are you willing to say yes, Lord, when you find out the answer? Let's turn to Moses, book of Exodus, chapter 3. Moses isn't a book in the Bible, but the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4, mostly in chapter 4, but I'll just give a real quick run through of Exodus chapter 3. Moses sees the burning bush, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. God speaks to Moses out of the bush, take off thy shoes. Then God tells Moses that he'll be the lead the people out of Egypt, and that Moses will be the spokesperson and signs to show. And then we get into Exodus chapter 4. Let's read from, we'll just read verse 2 to 7. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And let's just skip down to verse 6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as other flesh. You know what strikes me with this is just, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's what we need to say. Take off your shoes. Yes, Lord. Cast down thy rod. Yes, Lord. Put thine hand into thy bosom. Yes, Lord. Take it out. Yes, Lord. Put it back in. Yes, Lord. Do you know how to say yes, Lord? Do you know how to say yes, Lord? When he says, go talk to that person, do you say, yes, Lord? Okay, Lord. Give that person a track. Make sure that person, he points somebody out in particular, and he says, make sure that person gets a track. You say, yes, Lord. I hope you can say, yes, Lord. Let's look a bit further in Exodus 4 here. And verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto for, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. But this time Moses says, No, Lord. He's just said, Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, no, Lord. He resists the grace of God. Moses misses out on a blessing. The blessing of an eloquent tongue. Don't resist the grace of God. Moses missed out on this blessing because he said, No, Lord. Someone else. Someone else can do it. I think this is an example of quenching the spirit. Putting out the fire, resisting the grace of God. God will only use you as much as your obedience. God was happy to use Moses, but Moses wasn't happy for God to use him for one particular thing. So God said, okay, I'll use your brother. That's all right, you miss out. So God used Aaron instead to accomplish his will. Now, I think we can all experience some form of this in our Christian life. Hopefully, we learn pretty quick. But if the Lord says, go give that person a tract, say yes, Lord. Say something to them. This is an example, sorry. When I'm at the markets, the Lord says, okay, that person needs a tract. I say, yes, Lord, that's easy. When I started out giving tracts at the markets, I was pretty nervous about handing tracts. But handing a tract to someone now, that doesn't really worry me at all. That doesn't worry me at all. But then the Lord says, say something to them. And I hesitate, and they've already gone past before I can say something. I think, oh, because I'm slow, you see. I'm thick, I'm slow. but I hesitate. My hesitation is like, no, Lord. Do you hesitate? Sometimes God is gracious to me and I get an opportunity as they walk out of the markets to say something. But sometimes I miss the blessing. Yesterday there was a couple that didn't want to tract as they came into the markets. And as they came out, they were empty-handed, and I just felt prompted to say to them, did you find what you're looking for? They said, no, we weren't really looking for anything. They just came to look. They weren't come to buy anything in particular. And I said, well, take this and read it. You might find it in here. And he said, okay, I'll take a tract, seeing you're persistent. And so I pray that that fellow will read a tract. And that's not the first time I've said that to somebody. Did you find what you were looking for in there? And on the way out, they've taken a tract when they've said no on the way in. Just because it took time to say something. And I really don't, I'm not a talker. If someone else is doing the talking, that's good. I can just stand there and listen all day. I'm just thinking of things to ask that I don't want to push myself across on somebody as pushy or nosy or anyway. How many times do you have to be told? I'm reading through Jeremiah at the moment, and he tells the Jews over and over and over what is going to happen. They just don't listen. And after it happens, the remnant of those in Judah that are left, that have witnessed his prophecies, the prophecies come true, they come to him and say, Jeremiah, ask the Lord what he wants us to do, and we will do it. And Jeremiah says, the Lord wants you to stay here. After 10 days, I think it was, Jeremiah comes to the people and says, the Lord wants you to stay here. Don't be scared of the Chaldeans. Serve a king of Babylon. But if you go to Egypt, you're going to die. And you know what they said? No, you're a false prophet. After all his prophecies come true, they still say, no, you're a false prophet. We're going to go to Egypt. Has God been telling you the same thing over and over again? Are you listening? Get rid of that out of your life. Oh, I know I should. Get rid of that out of your life. Oh, I know I need to. Stop wasting time. Just say, yes, Lord. If you seek God for direction in your life, to be in His will, He's not going to do something with you. That's not a blessing, really. He's going to help you. He has an end goal in mind. He wants to perfect you and mature you as a Christian. Is God wicked that He wants to do evil to you? No. God wants to bless you. He wants to do good with you. James 1:16 down to 18 says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. God loves you. You know, He sent His Son for you. He sent His Son to die for you. That's how much He loves you. He's not going to do something with you that isn't going to bring Him glory, that isn't going to bring you to that end purpose of perfection in His eyes. He's working sanctification in your life. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11. And I realize the context of this is salvation, but I think it applies. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asked bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asked a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall you, your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? He wants to give you good things. He wants to use you for the glory of his name. We're a privileged people when we say yes, Lord. When we say yes, Lord, we're privileged. And it starts with small steps, just little steps. When Tia and I started out, well, I started coming here almost 4 years ago, and it wasn't long before the Lord said, get rid of these things in our life. We need to get rid of stuff from the world. Get rid of it. Get rid of that alcohol. Yes, Lord. Stop wasting time watching that sport. Yes, Lord. You need to be giving. Yes, Lord. You need to be baptized. Yes, Lord. Become a member. Yes, Lord. Clean the church. Yes, Lord. It's just little steps. You don't get from here to the piano in one big leap. It's little steps, lots of little steps. God just wants you to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You just need to know how to say, yes, Lord. Why are you scared of what God is trying to do with you or through you? I'm sure that more people are called to the mission field than who go. I'm sure there's more people called to pastor churches than that pastor churches. I'm sure that more people are called to serve in a church than serve in the church. People need to start saying, yes, Lord. Start saying, yes, Lord. It's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Stop and listen. And say, yes, Lord. Maybe there's something in your life you need to get rid of. The Lord's told you, get rid of it. And you said, okay, I know, Lord. I need to get rid of it. But you haven't done it. You need to say, yes, Lord. Maybe he's told you to serve somewhere in the ministry, to clean the toilets, to vacuum the floor. Just need to say, yes, Lord. Starts with little steps. Yes, Lord. There's times when we need to be still so that we can discern what God wants you to do. But then there needs to be action. When God tells you to do something, there needs to be action. Just reminded me of a verse in 1 Samuel 15, I think it is. 15:22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as an iniquity and idolatry. He wants to hear, yes, Lord. Have you said yes, Lord, recently? Or are you saying no? Someone else. Someone else will do it. There are times when we need to be still so that we can discern what God wants us to do. But then we need to say, yes, Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to say yes. Lord, help us to be willing, Lord, just to say yes. Yes, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.